This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, a magnificent Thursday. We're going to talk about the Department of Education here. We'll get into this IRS audit. Doge is apparently in the building. Oh my gosh, that's going to be fantastic. So much fun still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. And remember, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now back to our discussion here. I want to give some credit to Christopher Rufo, who's been digging through the Department of Education on behalf of the Trump administration. And he came out with this exclusive earlier today. The Department of Education granted $8 million to this left-wing NGO, which promotes the idea that America is a white supremacist society and demands that you must, quote, disrupt your whiteness. This NGO, just in case you think it's a small affair, is responsible for advising 7,000 school districts in the Midwest. Why did you send Aiden, Jaden, to Braden to school and you thought they were going to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, and they came home one day talking about how much America sucks? Why did that happen? Because the communists took over the education system in this country, and they've been teaching Aiden, Jaden, and Braden that America sucks for the longest time. And Linda McMahon brought up a great point today, education secretary, well, soon to be, that's what she said.
The bottom line is because it's not working. Department of Education was set up in 1980, and since that time, we have spent almost $1 trillion, and we have watched our performance scores continue to go down. I do believe that it is a responsibility to make sure that our children do have equal access to excellent education. I think that that is best handled at the state level, closest to the states, working with state administrators, teachers, parents, who should have input into their curriculum.
Now, why did we spend, or I guess I should say how did we spend $1 trillion on something and have everything go to crap? Think how really crazy that is. If I was to, my son is 14. My youngest son, Luke, is 14. Now, he's an admittedly very sharp 14-year-old, but he's 14. Let's say I won the lottery. I won $100,000. And I decided I wanted to make some home improvements. $100,000. And I handed that $100,000 to my 14-year-old Luke and said, hey, Luke, make some improvements on the home. Now, are all the improvements going to be what I want? No. Obviously, we might end up with some dinosaur wallpaper in the living room or something like that. But the home will probably get better for $100,000. In some way, a 14-year-old can figure out how to spend something. Maybe he's putting in a pool. The home's going to get better, right? How is it that the United States government blood sucked $1 trillion out of your wallet, and we've steadily watched test scores go down? Well, it's because the $1 trillion was not used in any way to improve the home. The $1 trillion was blood sucked out of your wallet and handed to people like this who are trying to burn your home to the ground.
Today's virtual roundtable is entitled Identifying and Disrupting Your Whiteness, a workshop addressing power and privilege toward anti-racist spaces. The term whiteness refers to race privilege, a way of seeing the world and a set of cultural practices that are usually unmarked and unnamed. Whiteness is often unrecognized, particularly by people who identify as white, but pervasive in American society and a barrier to inclusion and equity. This EquiLearn virtual roundtable, facilitated by Equity Fellow Dr. Sharon Rad, offers a space to examine one's personal, local, and immediate connections to whiteness and privilege, and consider how to identify and disrupt rather than perpetuate them.
We've been paying for our own destruction. The destruction of the United States of America has been organized, purposeful, and what makes it the worst is it has been funded in large part by us. We paid $1 trillion to make our kids dumber and teach them how to hate the United States of America. And that's what happens when we sit back and let the communists take over every single part of our government. And I want to remind you of this. Do not for one second think that Donald Trump and the Trump administration are going to be able to save the United States of America by cleaning the communism out of the federal government. Oh, they can help us so much, and they are helping us so much. This stuff is happening inside of your state. Jesse, not here. I'm in Tennessee. This stuff is happening in your state. Not here. Not Wyoming. This stuff is happening in your state. At the state level, this exact same stuff is happening. Well, not in my town, in your county, in your state. What we are witnessing now is the federal version that is taking place as we speak, not a past tense thing. As we speak, this stuff is taking place across the United States of America. Government and government adjacent agencies hoovering up your tax dollars so the communists in your state, in your county, in your town can use your own money to destroy everything you love and care about. That is why we must continue to get involved. Get involved. Get off the couch and become an activist. I am not saying you have to give up your life, give up your job, stop spending time with your kids. I'm not saying any of that. We must, myself included, I do not exclude myself from this because I have a radio show. I have to get even more involved than I already am locally. We have mountains to climb even in my 92% Republican area. This is all across the country. This kind of evil system has been set up where they suck up your money and blow it. And Chris, Jewish producer Chris asked during the break, you keep saying this is just the tip. When do we get to the rest of it? Well, the rest of it may begin right now.
So I think that the Internal Revenue Service will be looked at like everybody else. Just about everybody's going to be looked at. So it's they're doing a hell of a job. It's an amazing job they're doing.
They're doing a hell of a job when Trump says that he's talking about the Doge team. The Internal Revenue Service, the Doge team, as we speak, as you're listening to the sound of my voice at what time is it? 7 o'clock Eastern, roughly? As you're listening to the sound of my voice at 7 o'clock Eastern time, they are inside the IRS. You cannot even imagine what they're going to find inside the IRS. Because remember, this goes back years and years and years. Because the IRS is largely occupied by communists, they've been used, it has been used as a weapon to attack the political opponents of the American communists and to provide a shield for the American communists. Remember the whistleblowers who came forward about all the Hunter Biden stuff? Hunter Biden found himself in trouble. Immediately, the American communists inside the IRS locked shields to try to protect him. That's the purpose of it. And as I've told you before, you think USAID is bad, and it is. You think the IRS stuff is bad, and it is. You have no idea what they are going to find inside the Pentagon.
You know what else needs to happen is we need an accounting of every single tax dollar that's been spent over there. Because remember, right now we have zero because Congress.
That's Josh Hawley. This is Josh Hawley. I'll let him play it again, or I'll let him say it again. This is Josh Hawley talking about Ukraine. This is just one theater of war.
You know what else needs to happen is we need an accounting of every single tax dollar that's been spent over there. Because remember, right now we have zero because Congress never would vote for an audit of the money. And the White House, the Biden White House, never would do one. We need to know exactly how this money has been spent all these years. And if you think USAID is a corrupt thing, just wait till we see how our money has been spent. We need to know it. And I'm glad the president is going to bring this to a close.
We do need to know it. And let me just tell you, if you're still on that character arc we've been talking about during the show, where maybe you're kind of been in naive puppy dog land. Well, we all want the same things. And you're slowly but surely realizing that your country's been occupied by communists. Maybe you're still coming along on that character arc. When they start opening up the books on what's taking place inside the Pentagon, you're going to find it staggering. You are. Staggering. I've heard stories for years and years and years. Don't think that kind of amazing government corruption is only reserved for places like Ukraine. Now, let's set that aside. We'll do a couple more emails before we get to you know what? No. Speaking of state level, I'm going to use this example real quick, and then we'll do some emails before I get to that example. Preborn is out there setting an example for all of us, meaning they got involved. They didn't just sit around, you know, just praying about it. I'm not at all insulting prayer. But when it comes to pro-life, they didn't just sit around twiddling their thumbs. Well, I hope things change. Preborn decided to actually save lives in a tangible way. How do they do that? Well, these young women across the country, they're getting abortions essentially over the internet. They're on the internet. Someone will send the abortion pill to their house and 60%. Of abortions that way. It's actually 64%. Terrible. So how do you fight back against that when she can do it online? Preborn finds her and offers her a free ultrasound. If a young woman can hear that heartbeat, she will choose life almost every single time. $28 is all it costs. It's a life you're buying. Preborn.com/Jesse. Remember, it's all tax deductible. Give whatever you want. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. I've got a state example. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, a wonderful Thursday. All right, so I wanted to hit this up really quickly, just as long as we're talking about federal, state, local level. Again, I want to emphasize, it is great we're finding out all this evil, dirty, commie corruption at the federal level. It's going to get worse, much, much, much worse as they dig into the IRS, the Pentagon. So get yourself ready. Gird your loins, as they say. It will get worse. But this is taking place in your state, too. Exact same thing. Smaller scale, same thing. California is from Breitbart. Trump could claw back $4.3 billion in unspent high-speed rail funds from California. Now, I'm not going to talk about the federal funds. Not going to bother with that right now. But California is a great example. Now, don't roll your eyes and say, well, it's California. It figures. This takes place all over the country, not just in California. But this is how they do it. They'll get $5 billion for a high-speed rail project. They'll get it passed into a bill. And then... then the evil begins. Then they'll start figuring out, well, I mean, we definitely have to do some studies first. We can't just put in a railroad, right? What if we hurt one of the exotic bugs? So we definitely need some scientists to study the bugs. Hey, Marty, my cousin Bob, he happens to head up this scientific institute. I think he'd be really good for that. Hey, let's get Bob some of that $4 billion, right? Over and over and over again. And that's why it happens all the time where you see government has dropped so much money on high-speed rail. And then people ask, great, where does all the track go? And there's no track whatsoever laid down. That's because the government at the federal, state, and local level creates, intentionally, I might point out, creates layer after layer after layer after layer so everybody can blood suck the money out of your hands. Here's a good example of this. I read this book one time by this mobster, and I'm sorry, I forget the name of the book and the mobster because this is one of the first mobster books I read. But he was a guy who was talking about coming up in the American mafia. And before he was an official made man in the mafia, he was an associate. That's how it works. You start out as a young guy committing crimes, things like that. Well, as an associate, you essentially need to have a sponsor who's a made man. Well, let's say I go come up with some scheme to $10,000. I do a drug deal and I make $10,000. If I'm just an associate of the mob, everybody above me will stick their hands in my 10 grand. So I'm an associate. Oh, I just hit the microphone. Sorry, Chris. My bad. I'm an associate. I make 10 grand for the mob, but my sponsor, whoever my made guy is, he's going to take a couple grand of it. The capo, he's going to take a couple grand of it. They're probably going to want to kick a couple grand of it up to the boss. By the time it's done, I pulled off a $10,000 scheme. I've got $2,000 or $3,000 to show for it because every single crook at every single level stuck his greedy fingers into the money that I made. That is exactly what has been taking place inside of this criminal government. And I told you, how long have I told you the United States government is a criminal enterprise designed to loot the treasury? It is. It's exactly how the government has worked. And it's not, do not let them get away with waste. Don't make the mistake. Don't hand them that moral victory of, well, there's a lot of waste involved. Is there some waste? Of course there's some waste. It's the government. It's going to be inefficient. There's going to be waste. You're seeing corruption. Now, the problem with the corruption is they find ways to make the corruption legal. You know, I take in that $50 million in Jesse's toilets, and then I hand $25 million of that to a nonprofit I started to study the ants and the nonprofits run by a bunch of dirty commies who happen to be my family members. All that may actually be, by the letter of the law, legal. But that doesn't make it any less corrupt. That is the system we've been existing in for the longest time. That's why you dropped $1 trillion on education and everyone got dumber.
The bottom line is because it's not working. Department of Education was set up in 1980, and since that time we have spent almost $1 trillion, and we have watched our performance scores continue to go down. I do believe that it is a responsibility to make sure that our children do have equal access to excellent education. I think that that is best handled at the state level, closest to the states, working with state administrators, teachers, parents, who should have input into their curriculum.
Let's start a Department of Education. Then let's put a bunch of communists in there. Then let's make them a budget. We'll give them a bunch of our money. What's the worst they could do? What are they going to do with our $1 trillion?
Today's virtual roundtable is entitled Identifying and Disrupting Your Whiteness, a workshop addressing power and privilege toward anti-racist spaces. The term whiteness refers to race privilege, a way of seeing the world and a set of cultural practices.
Yeah, we got it. Now, here's the thing about what I just said. Not all of it has been legal according to the law. And there's a story here that shows you just how illegal it's been. I'm going to talk to somebody from Free Beacon in just a moment about the corruption in America's medical schools and the DEI stuff. But then when I get done talking to Aaron, I have a story for you. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, a wonderful Thursday. And speaking of wonderful, my next guest does some outstanding reporting, but apparently, judging by the song Chris brought us back on, he made the horrible mistake of not choosing his intro music. And as you know, on this show, that means you get the worst song we can find in short notice. However, he did do some great reporting. Joining me now, Aaron Sabarium, of the wonderful reporter for the Free Beacon. Aaron, I bet you regret that now, don't you?
I do. I wasn't aware that that's how it worked.
Yes. Yeah. Look, Chris should have explained that to you, but look, the best lessons are learned the hard way. So let's move past that onto this amazing article, well done, that you dug into at the University of Michigan. I want you to explain what you found, because this is happening across the country where people think because they're changing the label of something, they're changing their tactics. They are not. What's happening?
Sure. So at the University of Michigan School of Nursing, they took down pretty much every web page that had the word DEI in it. And they replaced a lot of the web pages with a new page for the Office of Community Culture. The thing is, when you click through the links, they still take you to all the old DEI resources. And most importantly, the staff of this new community culture office is exactly the same as the staff of the old diversity office. So there's basically been no substantive change. It's all just been rebranded and disguised and dressed up in new language.
Oh, gosh. So they changed some labels and kept all the same people in place pushing all the same crap. Is that what you're saying?
That's what it certainly appears.
And to be clear, this wasn't, I mean, the headline I read said University of Michigan, but this was a certain part of the University of Michigan, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. I believe that there are some other subdivisions of the university that have also taken certain DEI websites offline, although if you just Google, you'll still find that plenty of departments have a DEI page up and haven't made any changes. So it doesn't appear that this is kind of a centralized change just yet. It seems like the departments are kind of piecemeal working to kind of on their own to avoid scrutiny of DEI.
Are you seeing a lot of this, not just in universities, but I know you look at this stuff across the government, universities, obviously, medical institutions. Gosh, I can't even count how many places this crap's been put into place. Are you seeing a lot of this where they're trying to keep what they've been doing, but just adjust some labels so Trump doesn't get mad at them?
Yeah, I mean, a few places haven't even adjusted the labels. At Brown University Medical School, the tenure and promotion guidelines for a lot of positions give DEI more weight than excellent clinical skills. They literally put that in writing, and that's still on a medical school website. More broadly, I think a lot of places have changed the names of their DEI offices to something else. People use euphemisms like Office of Inclusive Excellence, things of that sort. Right. And it's all the same people. To my knowledge, some corporations have laid off their DEI teams, but I think at universities and in medical institutions in particular, I mean, I don't think any of these people have actually been fired.
That's, again, we're speaking with Aaron Sabirium, a wonderful reporter for the Free Beacon. Aaron, that's one of the things that stood out to me just listening to you talk and as I thumbed through the article. It's Michigan School of Nursing. It's Brown's Medical School. It's been an alarming trend I've noticed, I'm sure you have as well, in recent years, that our medical institutions seem to be almost uniquely susceptible to this filth. No one's surprised to see it in the law offices, right? But to see medical institutions is a little eye-popping, at least for me.
Yeah, and ironically, I think it's actually a lot worse in medicine than in law. That's not to say that there's no problems in law, but law firms, I think, pretty quickly after the Supreme Court's affirmative action decision a couple years ago, got rid of their DEI fellowships that were only for underrepresented minorities. They understood the limits of the law, right? And so they made some token gestures to comply with it. Medicine, it just seems far more deeply rooted, and there's no sense that they might need to change course. I mean, just a couple months ago, I reported that all these top neuropsychology organizations had released these draft guidelines that are supposed to guide neuropsychology education, and these guidelines are full of DEI criteria, right? That's happening. This is all happening after Trump's election, right? Medicine medicine really has not been deterred in the way that corporate America or law has been.
Aaron, you have dug into this more than I have as far as putting in the legwork, but doing all the research. Could you give me some indication as to why medicine has gone so nuts? Because I've tracked these numbers. I've written about these numbers. I talk about them on the air, how it's staggering. Psychology, psychiatry, how lopsided it is. It's almost odd. How did that happen?
It's a complicated question that probably would take a book to answer. I think part of it is that the field of public health in particular has always been very left-wing, because the premise of public health is that social structures determine individual biological health, and that way of looking at the world is going to kind of naturally conduce towards more sort of left-wing theories of structural inequality. And because I think, you know, obviously, like, oncology and public health aren't the same thing, but they're in close proximity to each other. These folks all know each other. I think that may be part of why these ideas permeated the field of medicine as deeply as they did. But honestly, I don't have a full explanation. That's just kind of one conjecture.
Well, it sounds like you better get going on that book, Aaron. He is Aaron Sabarium, reporter for the Free Beacon. Go follow his stuff, read his stuff. It's always excellent. Aaron, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Look, I've talked about this stuff before. I mean, before Trump, before all this stuff, before Trump came back again, I've talked about this stuff. I mean, shoot, I wrote about it in the Anti-Communist Manifesto, available now on paperback at jessekellybook.com. But seriously, the field of medicine. Remember that old clip we used to play for you all the time? Chris, grab that clip if you don't mind. I think it was Columbia. I believe it was Columbia's medical school, nursing school, something. I think it was Columbia University, where at their graduation, they had these little brain-dead communists out there. I will hate white people. Look, the last medical thing I had to go get this scan done. I'm fine. It was just part of a routine physical thing. I was frankly taken aback by the lack of professionalism with the medical staff in there. It was hood this and hold that. You go, girl. It was all this crap. And listen to the people entering the field of medicine.
We enter the profession of medicine with appreciation for the opportunity to build on the scientific and humanistic achievements of the past. We also recognize the acts and systems of oppression affected in the name of medicine. We take this oath of service to begin building a future grounded in truth, restoration, and equity to fulfill medicine's capacity to liberate. I vow to use this knowledge to uplift my patients and disrupt the injustices that harm them as I forge the future of medicine. I promise to self-reflect diligently, to confront unconscious prejudices, and to develop the skills, knowledge, and character necessary to engender an inclusive, equitable field of medicine. Let us bow our heads in recognition of the gravity of this oath. We swear to faithfully engage with these ideals and obligations for the ongoing betterment of medicine and humanity.
Looking forward to that heart surgery you got coming up? Scary place to be. Whatever. Let's do some emails and other things. Jesse, I recently resumed taking chalk as I was listening to the Doge hearing this evening, and it struck me how feminine some of the congressmen sounded. We need to do something about the weak men in our country and agree we should get all these weak elected men a subscription to chalk. His name is Clint from Virginia. Look, I've been pushing this forever, that chalk needs to embark on some sort of a campaign. I don't know how they would even do it, where every single GOP member of Congress gets a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. Every time I hear one of these effeminate, limp-wristed dorks we have in our party, I think to myself, gosh, we have a testosterone crisis in this country. And we do. Take chalk. Natural herbal supplements. Get on a stack from chalk. Start drinking chocolate powder and a glass of milk or a smoothie in the morning. Get yourself feeling good, and then we'll worry about fixing the GOP. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday, reminding you you can email the show, and you better email in your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for email those in for tomorrow to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ask me anything. Questions like this one. Hey, Jesse, why did you start showing a picture of yourself as a king? This guy's talking about the portrait I had made showing me. It's actually me as a prince. I'm not arrogant. The portrait's right behind it. Remember, you can watch a simulcast of the show on the First TV. Anyway, this guy's angry. He said, I quit watching your show because of that stupid picture. Only one king, and that ain't you. You know what blows me away about that stuff? How are there still people listening who don't have a sense of humor? You would think by this point in time, they will have all fallen off and gone away. But somehow, there are still... Look, so I'm going to level with you here. I like to laugh. I enjoy it a great deal. I'm going to make jokes. Life's hard enough without laughter. If you're one of these people who takes your... And look, some people are just this way. If you're one of these people who takes yourself super, super seriously, and you want me to take myself super, super seriously... It's not going to happen, okay? Now, that's the bad news. The good news is all across the political radio spectrum and TV spectrum, there are all kinds of people who take themselves very, very, very seriously. They consider themselves very smart and very important. And if that's what you're looking for, I promise you will find something, but you're not going to find that here, all right? Now, I promised you a little story. You know how I said... A lot of this government corruption actually is legal. That's the sad part of it. This NGO and that cut out and this NGO. Well, it's a lot of the corruption being legal, but it's not all of the corruption being legal. We already talked about the criminal enterprise that is the United States government. Well, what the Trump administration is doing, they are essentially raiding the United States government. Think of it like a drug house, like a trap house. They sell drugs. Oh, for the longest time, drugs, 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 drugs. Making money hand over fist, just selling your drugs. And then the SWAT team kicks in the door, sticking guns in everyone's faces. You're trying to flush the drugs down, trying to stuff the money down your underwear, but you're busted and all is being exposed. That's happening right now inside the United States government, and I want to remind you again to keep everybody in your prayers in this government, because very powerful, very evil people are very, very afraid right now. Headline, this is from Not the Bee. According to Rasmussen, over 3 times more people in Washington, D.C. are Googling criminal defense lawyer than anyone else in the United States of America. Federal government employs roughly 3 million people. Obviously, a large quantity of those employees live in the Washington, D.C. area. The SWAT team just kicked in the door. There are a lot of attorneys who are going to make a lot of money now because people are worried their crimes are being exposed. And the great news is these are all the worst freaking people on the planet. And they're so desperate. They even sent communist John Denver to the news to talk about the kids.
It's just complete chaos and, frankly, a whole bunch of cruelty. Because at the end of the day, you can make departments more efficient. And I'm not a big believer in bureaucracy. But this feels like, as Elon Musk said to you, evisceration. So here's a guy who has hundreds of millions of dollars of contracts from these departments.
She, of course, is not worried about the kids or anything else. She's worried that the jig is up. The scam is over. Poor communist John Denver. I feel so bad for her. Jesse, please talk to your friends at Rough Greens. I'd like something to sprinkle on my Little Caesars cheese puffs, Sonic grilled cheeseburger, and 2 for $3 breakfast at Wendy's. I didn't know Wendy's had a 2 for $3 breakfast. I don't think I've ever had Wendy's breakfast. I could see that being legit. Wendy's really improved their fry situation. That's one. Two, I should talk to Ruff Greens because I think maybe I could use even more nutrition. Remember, your dog doesn't get any nutrition from his food. Do remember that. Your cat doesn't get any nutrition from the food. What color's your dog's food? It's brown. How'd I guess that? Because it's all brown. Why is it all brown? Longevity. They have to kill everything in dog food, all the nutrition that's in there. They have to kill it all at the factory. Otherwise, it would go bad quickly. You know, that's one of the things I've discovered being married to Ub. Fresh stuff without preservatives goes bad very, very quickly. It's the way it is. So how do you get your dog nutrition? No, you don't have to switch Muffy's food. Sprinkle Ruff Greens on the dog's food, and your dog will get all the vitamins, minerals, probiotics, antioxidants, everything your dog needs to live a longer life. Don't we want our dogs alive longer? Created by a naturopathic doctor, Dennis Block, great man. Call him. Free jumpstart trial bag at 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. Jesse, I listen to all the Medal of Honor Mondays. My question is, how are they so well documented? How are these stories here for us to learn? But, well, I know it sounds simplistic, but people saw it. And as I've told you many times, we read these Medal of Honor stories, talk about them on Medal of Honor Mondays, talk about the men and the deeds and all the great things they do. But these are a fraction of the Medals of Honor that could have been handed out. But there are so many of these stories we will never, ever know because everyone died. And that's sad. And I know that's dark. I know that's a little heavy and it's dark. But when we talk about the heroism, we will oftentimes talk about the heroism of one man because it's his name on the Medal of Honor. But if you talk to these Medal of Honor guys, there's a guy from Iwo Jima, Woody Williams. Woody, I know his nickname was Woody. I think his last name was Williams. He survived his Medal of Honor. He was a flamethrower guy. Killed all these Japanese guys on Iwo Jima, just did some crazy brave stuff. You talk to Woody Williams. He passed not long ago, as a matter of fact. You talk to Woody Williams or ever read an interview from Woody Williams, Woody Williams will tell you, this medal belongs to all the guys I had with me. He didn't charge those pillboxes alone. He had dudes with him, and not all of them died. He said, this Medal of Honor belongs to them too. The guy crawling beside the Medal of Honor guy who catches a round in the forehead, he's not lacking bravery. He's not less brave than the guy who happened to survive long enough to drop a grenade in a bunker. We know about the ones that had witnesses. There are many, 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 many more than we can ever count. Stories, men, we won't ever get a story about because all the witnesses were dead and there was just nobody around. So just I didn't mean to make that heavy. It's not heavy. It's just, remember, it's a celebration of all the heroes. Okay, we have a bunch of stuff we still have to get to. Democrat parties in disarray. RFK Jr. got confirmed today. Mitch McConnell is a petty, petty human being. All that and so much more coming up in our final hour. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.